Ever feel like when you're trying to get up to speed on the latest tech trends and TIM research, you're just kind of drowning in information? Like you've got the articles, the white papers, all the social media buzz, and it can get overwhelming really fast.
Especially if you need to apply that information quickly, like if you're doing a new market analysis
Right.
or trying to spot a disruption that's coming.
Exactly. And that's what we're tackling in this deep dive. So today we are going to give you, specifically our TIM grad students and faculty, a really clear step-by-step way to use AI to power your scoping reviews. And we'll be using the guide to produce scoping literature reviews using AI tools as our guide for this. And the beauty of this guide is that it goes beyond just the tools. Like it really gets into why scoping reviews is so valuable in TIM in the first place. So before we get into the AI wizardry, let's just break down why a TIM researcher would even want to do a scoping review.
So I like to think about it like this. In TIM research, you're often dealing with like really new emerging fields, things that are rapidly changing, things like blockchain commercialization or like quantum computing applications. And the landscape is constantly shifting, so a scoping review can really help you map the terrain really quickly, and you can see what's already out there. What are the key themes, and maybe where are some knowledge gaps?
And I guess finding those knowledge gaps is really where the
Exactly.
exciting new TIM research questions are going to come from.
That's where you can contribute to the field. That's where you carve out a niche for your research. In fact, the guide gives a really cool example of using scoping reviews to map global patent filings for a specific technology. And imagine like the insights you could get from doing that.
Yeah, that's powerful. Now, I know some people listening might be thinking, wait, isn't this just like a systematic review? But there is a crucial difference here.
Absolutely. There is a crucial difference. So a systematic review is really laser focused on a very specific question, often about how effective a particular intervention is. So it's great if you're comparing, say, different IP licensing strategies or something. But in TIM, a lot of times we need a broader lens.
Yeah, I was going to say, because we're looking at these entire innovation ecosystems.
Exactly.
It's not just one little piece.
So if your research question is more exploratory, like let's say, what are the societal impacts of these AI-driven platforms for technology commercialization? That's where a scoping review really shines. It helps you get your bearings in this really complex and evolving landscape.
So we've really laid out the why of scoping reviews for Tim. Now let's bring in kind of the heavy artillery here, the AI. I'm really curious to hear how AI is actually transforming this whole process.
Well, it really is completely changing the game. AI can analyze massive amounts of data way faster than a human can. So think about like screening thousands of research articles just to look for relevant keywords. AI can do that in hours, maybe even minutes. Whereas if you were doing it manually, that would take you weeks. And it's not just about speed, it's also about finding connections that we as humans might miss.
Right, I was just going to say it's more than speed.
So these algorithms can analyze the text of those articles, and they can identify patterns and relationships and even like emerging themes that might not be obvious to a person. It's kind of like having a research assistant who can read and analyze thousands of papers at the same time.
That sounds almost too good to be true. But I know there are some caveats here, right? AI is not perfect. It has its limitations.
Yeah, and you're right. You always have to be aware of the limitations. So AI can sometimes struggle with understanding the nuances of human language, and it can even be susceptible to bias just based on the data that it was trained on.
So it's not a set it and forget it kind of thing. We still need to be in the driver's seat here, using our judgment, our expertise to really guide the process.
I like to think of it as AI is a tool. It's like a high-powered microscope. It can reveal incredible details, but you still need a skilled researcher to interpret those details and understand what they mean in the big picture.
And that's where our TIM knowledge and expertise come into play. We're not just blindly accepting what the AI is giving us. We're really critically evaluating it and making sure it aligns with our goals and our understanding of the field.
And that's one of the key messages of this guide. It's about remembering that AI is a partner in research. It's not a replacement for human
A
intelligence.
partner that can lead to some really cool TIM discoveries, I think. Now, I know AI could be intimidating, especially for people who aren't like tech wizards or whatever. What would you say to maybe a TIM student or a faculty member who's hesitant to really embrace these tools?
I would say don't be afraid to just jump in and experiment. There are so many AI tools that are designed specifically for research, and they're very user-friendly.
Okay.
And the guide does a really good job of outlining some of those more popular ones.
Okay. I'm starting to get excited about the possibilities here.
Yeah.
But before we go into the specific tools and techniques,
yeah,
I want to talk about another important element of TIM research.
Yeah.
And that's gray literature.
Yes, the hidden treasure trove.
The hidden treasure trove often holds the most valuable insights, I feel like.
Yes, definitely.
But it's also the most challenging to navigate.
Yeah.
Why is gray literature so important in TIM, and why does AI sometimes struggle with it?
Well, you know, in TIM, we're often interested in understanding real-world applications and market trends, and that information isn't always in those academic journals.
Yeah.
So think about things like think tank reports or industry white papers or conference proceedings. Those types of sources provide a ground level view of what's happening in the field.
And that's gold for TIM researchers.
Exactly.
But I imagine those sources aren't always neatly indexed in databases, and that makes it hard for AI to kind of find them.
Yeah, that's where we have to put on our detective hats. We need to know where to look for this information, how to evaluate the credibility of the sources, and then how to pull out the relevant information.
Yeah. It really is like being a detective.
Yes.
Following those breadcrumbs to find the hidden gems.
Yes. And this guide gives us a fantastic roadmap for that journey. It outlines a step-by-step approach for finding and evaluating gray literature, and even suggests specific sources that are gold mines for TIM research.
I can't wait to dive into those. So we've got our scoping review framework, we've got our AI superpowers.
Yes.
And we've got our treasure map for gray literature. What's next on this adventure?
Well, before we can analyze and synthesize all this great information, we need to figure out how to keep it organized.
Mm-hmm.
Because scoping reviews can involve hundreds, even thousands of sources.
Oh, that's a lot.
It is.
I can already feel that information overload coming on.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, we have tools to help us tame this beast, right?
We do. Reference managers are really a must-have for any serious researcher, especially anyone doing a scoping review.
So if you're talking Zotero, Mendeley, EndNote,
yeah,
those kinds of like digital librarians that keep all our references in order?
Exactly. They not only store and organize your references, but they also help you generate those bibliographies and citations in all those different formats.
Right.
And what's really exciting is some reference managers are actually starting to integrate with AI tools.
Oh, wow. So we could have our reference manager suggesting new papers to us based on our interests,
exactly,
all powered by AI.
Yes, it's really a game changer. It's like having a personalized research assistant who's constantly on the lookout for new and relevant sources.
That is incredible. This is starting to sound very futuristic and exciting.
Yeah.
So in this first part of our deep dive, we've really laid the groundwork for understanding AI-powered scoping reviews in TIM.
Right.
We've explored the why, the what, and the potential of this approach.
Absolutely. So welcome back, TIM detectives. Ready to put on our AI-powered magnifying glasses and get into the step-by-step process here?
Absolutely. I'm ready to crack this code of innovation. Where do we start our investigation?
Well, the guide really kicks off with kind of the foundation of any good research, which is defining your research question and scoping your review. And this might seem obvious, but it's so important to be crystal clear on what you're actually trying to find out.
Right. It's like setting the coordinates for our journey. If we don't know where we're going, we're just going to end up lost in this sea of information.
Exactly. So let's say you're interested in how AI is being used to personalize education. A good solid research question might be, what are the current applications and ethical considerations of AI in personalized learning platforms?
Okay.
And then your scope could be like research articles from the past 5 years focusing on K through 12 education in the U.S. market.
So that's how we narrow it down, those specific parameters.
Exactly. Yeah. It's about being strategic and focused, especially when you're dealing with a field as dynamic and fast moving as TIM.
So we've got our compass set now. What's the next step in our AI-powered expedition?
Now comes the exciting part, the search for treasure.
Ooh.
And by treasure, I mean those really insightful articles and data points that will form the foundation of our scoping review.
And this is where AI starts to show off its muscles, right?
Exactly. Think of AI as your research bloodhound sniffing out relevant information from all these massive databases and online repositories. So tools like Google Scholar or Semantic Scholar, even specialized databases like IE Explore, those can be so powerful when you combine them with AI.
I can only imagine the amount of time that would save you.
Right.
But we talked about the limitations of AI before. How do we make sure our bloodhound is on the right scent and not chasing squirrels?
Right. Well, that's where a really savvy Tim researcher comes in.
Okay.
The guide recommends a multi-pronged approach.
Okay.
So first, don't just rely on one database or one search engine. You really want to cast a wide net, explore a bunch of different sources that are relevant to your Tim topic. So for example, if you're researching open innovation, you might want to look at platforms like Crunchbase that track startup activity.
Okay.
It's like having multiple detectives working the case from different angles.
Right.
And just as importantly, you want to really critically evaluate the results.
Right.
So don't just blindly accept what the AI spits out.
Okay.
Ask yourself, does this source actually align with my research question? Is it from a reputable source? Are there any potential biases that I need to be aware of?
So it's a constant back and forth.
It's using the AI to gather the intel,
but
then using our human judgment to make sure it's the right intel.
Exactly. It's a collaboration, not just a complete handover to the AI.
Okay.
And speaking of sifting through information, the next step is selecting those articles that will actually make the cut for our scoping review.
Separating the wheat from the chaff.
Exactly.
This sounds like it could be really time consuming, especially if our bloodhounds uncovered a ton of potential sources.
It can be, but AI can actually help here as well.
Okay.
So many of the tools now offer automated screening based on keywords, publication dates, even citation counts. So imagine you could set filters to weed out any articles that are irrelevant or outside of the time frame you're looking at.
Okay. That really narrows down the field. But I'm guessing there's still a human element to this selection process, right?
Absolutely.
Especially in Tim, where we might be dealing with those less conventional sources.
Right.
Like industry reports or conference proceedings.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're spot on. So AI can help with that initial filtering.
Right.
But you, the Tim expert, you need to make those final judgment calls.
Okay.
Think of it like this. AI can flag the articles that might be relevant.
Okay.
But it's up to you to read the abstracts, maybe skim those key findings and decide if they really align with your research question.
It's like a two-step verification process.
Exactly.
The AI flags and then the human researcher confirms. No cutting corners.
Exactly. Thoroughness is so important in a scoping review. And once you have that set of articles that you've curated carefully, it's time for the data extraction phase.
This is where it gets messy.
It can.
We're talking about pulling key information from potentially hundreds of articles.
Mm-hmm.
How do we even start to organize that?
Well, the good news is AI is becoming really good at this too.
Okay.
There are tools out there that can automate a lot of that data extraction process.
Oh, wow.
Which saves researchers tons of time and effort.
So the AI can basically read through these articles and pull out the missing points for me.
Yeah, to a certain extent, yes. So it can identify key terms. It can extract specific data points. It can even summarize the main findings of an article. Imagine having a digital assistant that can create a spreadsheet with all the relevant information from your articles, all organized by theme or by research question.
That would be amazing.
Right.
But I'm guessing we still need to have some human oversight here, right?
Of course you always do. You never want to just blindly trust the AI to extract the right information.
Okay.
It's so important to double check the AI's output, make sure it's accurate.
Okay.
And that it's capturing those nuances of the research. Think of it like this. AI is a really powerful tool for extracting that raw data.
Okay.
But you, the Tim detective, need to make sure that data is accurate and relevant to your investigation.
So it's like having a super efficient research assistant.
Yes.
But one that still needs guidance and supervision from the expert in charge.
That's a great way to put it. And that brings us to what I consider to be the most exciting stage of a scoping review, which is the analysis and synthesis of all that data.
Right.
This is where you, the Tim detective, really shines.
This is where we connect the dots.
Yes.
See the bigger picture emerging.
Yes. And while AI can help us kind of sift through that data and identify potential patterns, it's ultimately up to us to interpret those findings and draw those meaningful conclusions. And this is where your expertise, your deep knowledge of Tim becomes so valuable.
So it's like all the pieces of a puzzle are laid out in front of us.
Yeah.
AI might help us sort the pieces by color or shape.
Right.
But we're the ones who put the puzzle together.
Exactly. That's such a great analogy. There are all sorts of different methods you can use to make sense of the data. Some researchers create visual maps or diagrams to show the relationships between different concepts, while others might use a more structured approach like tables or spreadsheets.
And I imagine AI can be helpful here as well.
Yes.
Especially if you're dealing with huge amounts of data.
Absolutely. So tools like topic modeling can help you group articles together based on shared themes.
Okay.
And sentiment analysis can help you understand like the overall tone and perspective within the research.
So the AI is highlighting the potential areas of convergence or divergence.
Right.
But we're the ones who decide what it all means.
Exactly. We're the ones that connect those dots.
Okay.
And weave those different strands of research into a story.
This is starting to feel like a true collaboration.
It is.
Between the human and artificial intelligence.
Yes.
Each bringing their own strengths to the table.
Exactly. And that's what makes AI-powered scoping reviews so powerful. They let us use the best of both worlds.
Right.
To really understand these complex Timin phenomena.
This has been so insightful. We've gone from framing the research question.
Right.
To gathering evidence.
Yeah.
And now analyzing and synthesizing our findings.
Yeah.
I'm really seeing how AI can elevate this whole process.
Absolutely.
All right. So welcome back, Tim Detectives. We've gathered all this evidence. We've analyzed the data. And now it's time to share our findings with the world.
Exactly. So we've reached kind of the final stage of our AI-powered scoping review journey, which is communicating those insights in a clear, compelling, and impactful way.
Okay. So it's not just about, you know, dumping all the data on our audience. It's about crafting that narrative, telling a story that highlights those key takeaways.
Right.
And their implications for, you know, Tim research and practice.
Exactly. You want to think about it like weaving together all those threads of research into a tapestry that reveals a bigger picture.
I like that analogy.
Yeah.
So where do we start with this tapestry weaving?
Well, the guide really emphasizes the importance of relating your findings back to that original research question and also the broader Tim context. Cool. So remember our example about AI and personalized education.
Yes. What are the current applications and potential benefits of AI in personalized learning platforms?
Right. So when you're presenting your findings, you would really focus on those specific insights that you've gained about that question.
Okay.
So are there particular types of AI that are being used effectively? What are the key challenges or barriers to wider adoption? How might these findings inform the development of new educational technologies?
So really making those connections clear for the reader,
yeah.
showing them how the pieces of the puzzle fit together.
Exactly. And don't forget about transparency and reproducibility. So clearly document your search strategy, your inclusion and exclusion criteria, your data extraction methods,
okay.
so that others can understand your process and even build upon your work.
So it's kind of like creating a clear roadmap for others to follow.
Right.
Showing them how you arrived at your conclusions. Now, when it comes to actually writing the scoping review, I know some people get really intimidated by the thought of putting all of this information into a, you know, cohesive and engaging narrative.
Yeah, I understand. It can feel daunting. But remember, you're not writing a novel here. A scoping review is really about presenting information in a clear and concise way.
Okay.
You know, use headings, subheadings, bullet points to guide the reader.
It's more like a well-structured report than a Shakespearean play.
Exactly. And don't be afraid to use visuals. Tables, charts, and diagrams can be so helpful in presenting that complex data in a way that's easy for people to understand.
I can imagine AI can help us here too, right?
Yeah.
Maybe generating some of those visualizations or...
Yes, definitely. There are AI tools that can help with data visualization and even with generating summaries of research articles.
Wow.
But as always, it's important to use those tools with a critical eye.
Right.
Make sure that the output aligns with your own interpretation of the data.
So it's that partnership we've been talking about this whole time.
Yeah.
The AI can help us streamline the process.
Right.
Make our communication more effective. But ultimately, we're the ones crafting that compelling narrative that's going to resonate with our audience.
Exactly. Now, before we wrap up, I want to emphasize one final point, which is the importance of staying up to date.
Okay.
Because this field of AI, it's constantly evolving,
right.
and there are always new tools and techniques emerging.
So this isn't a learn it once and you're done kind of thing.
No, not at all. It's all about continuous learning and exploration. Make it a habit to stay informed about the latest developments in AI for research.
Yep.
And don't be afraid to experiment with new tools and new approaches.
It's like any other skill. The more you practice, the better you get. And the rewards can be pretty significant, right?
Definitely. Mastering those AI-powered scoping reviews can give you a real competitive edge in TIM. It can help you identify new research opportunities, gain a deeper understanding of complex trends,
Correct.
And contribute valuable insights to your area of expertise.
This has been such an amazing journey. We started with this guide.
Right.
And we ended up exploring this whole new world of possibilities for TIM research.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up here, what final words of wisdom do you have for our fellow TIM explorers embarking on their own AI-powered adventures?
I would say just don't be afraid to dive in. Embrace the challenge.
Mm.
Explore the tools. And remember, AI can be a really powerful ally in that quest for knowledge and innovation.
And never underestimate the power of human curiosity and ingenuity. It's that spark that drives us to ask the questions, seek the answers, and ultimately shape the future.
That's
technology and innovation.
That's a great way to put it.
Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive. We'll see you next time for another exploration of the cutting edge of technology and innovation management.